cool winter day in February 2019. Snow was packed hard on the ground, a few feet of it piled high all around me as I made my way to the car to warm it up. It was time to start my recording sessions for this very podcast. I was excited to get to my makeshift studio.
This morning I heard birds chirping like crazy, and I was looking and I'm like, where are the birds? Why are there birds in winter? This is the coldest day, and there are birds.
The whole family was heading out that morning.
Did you find the birds?
No, I just heard them.
Were you dreaming, maybe?
No, I just listened to them just like minutes ago before I went in the car. And I heard them. Yeah.
So, yeah, they were trying to warm up. You know, birds do that when they're freezing cold. You say it's the coldest day.
This series had been on my heart for some time, and I was eager to conduct my first interview, since several people I had invited, who were excited initially, decided to bow out when the time came for the actual interviews. My first interviewee, Luz Delia, didn't shy away, and for that I am grateful to ya. I shared my experience of the failed interviews with her, to which she said,
I'm sorry that those folks had to bow out, but when I first was contacted by Kingdom Preppers, I was also elated. I mean, it was like hitting the lottery. Because I have been following you guys now for about 2 years, and I think I came on board like right as you were doing this preparedness checklist, and it was a couple of videos before that I got you guys. But when that series came out, I would wait with bated breath, like, is it there this week? Is it there this week? And I was so excited because those lessons were so, I mean, they were just striking a chord in me like a bell, like things that I had already implemented in my life were being reedified, and also things that were new to me were coming to light. So I'm actually very blessed to be on this podcast, and I feel, again, privileged to be one of the few.
You're listening to Fruit Bearers, a living Hebrew production provided by KingdomPreppers.org. I'm your host, Kingdom Prepper. This podcast will focus on the spiritual walk of those of you out there who are living the Israelite lifestyle, whether you were born Hebrew or Gentile. But more than that, it will detail how the faithful have been, or are striving to be, fruit bearers as they walk the path of righteousness toward the kingdom. We turn to our first guest.
My name is Luz Delia.
I told her that it just so happened that my family and I had just recently rewatched the list of Kingdom Preparedness videos that past Sabbath, after more than a year or so of not seeing them. I expressed to her that we actually strive to live up to everything we publish on the site. It's not just lip service.
To be honest with you, those videos that you did on YouTube, and you hadn't put out something for a while, and I was getting concerned. But those videos would be part of my Shabbat, and I would start in the morning, and I would go through the day and just, you know, read the Bible and verify what you guys were saying. And I just always found that series in particular, I would share it with any and everybody. I can remember being at work. At that time, I was the head of a hospital biomedical engineering department with five guys under me. And I would be walking the halls literally telling people about this preparedness checklist. Yeah, he would lead me to people, and then I would turn him on to the Kingdom Preppers, and they would be like, well, how'd you find this? You know, but I also believe that I learn more from, you know, just listening to the spirit within versus what I hear in the secular church. I had been listening to one pastor from the Calvary Chapel movement which they do verse by verse, which I liked. But then at some point it was getting to be very private interpretatively cited. So I stopped listening to that, yes. And I really tuned into Kingdom Preppers. And you guys have been a blessing. I mean, with the algorithms, the Israel's blindness. I mean, I can go on and on and on about how these teachings have edified me. And I really, with bated breath, used to look forward to the next one and the next one. Even a little Kingdom Prepper series, because I'm a grandmother now. And I share that with my grandchildren. At one point, my granddaughter was like, but Grandma.
Luz Delia expressed that her granddaughter, after being inundated by so many spiritual videos, asked her if everything is about Yah.
And I was like, what a great question. You know, he does put these things in our path so we can maybe grope for him and feel for him, because he is our reward. And I'm not just saying these things because we're speaking and I'm, you know, and I'm so blessed to be part of what you're doing and your vision. But I really do feel way deep down in my spirit that you know, things don't happen for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. Nothing is coincidental. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, locking into this series about 2 years ago and sharing it and just reviewing it over and over again, the materials, because there was nothing else.
I wondered what Luz Delia thought about the various forms of entertainment out there, since she expressed that there was pretty much nothing that appealed to her.
I do listen to music. Gospel music now has taken a turn where I'm kind of very loathing gospel music right now, but there's a few key people out there that are still upholding the standard. And I don't watch television. I just recently got a television in my home after many, many years of not having one. And it's for my grandchildren, but I let them watch things like VeggieTales, or I put stuff on for them. I don't just tune into to every day. And if I see them watching something, even in their own homes, I go and change it. So
this segued into her personal ministry, which briefly exposed her to what was going on in the church.
You know, recently I had a dance ministry, and I'll tell you about this briefly. I had a dance ministry where in my life I had a theater background. So I would only sing and I would only dance to the glory of Yah. So I would, you know, put together these programs and we would minister to people, and everybody was like, oh, yes, we love it, we love it. But then unfortunately I moved away and I passed the ministry on to somebody else, and I came back and it was unrecognizable. And so recently, as far back as this November 2018, I was asked to do a piece for because I'm half Spanish and half Black, so I'm a Latin American, but I'm also an African American. And I put together these choreographed, these dance numbers that were ministered to people, and they were just blown away by it. But to me, in saying that, I just feel like whatever talents we have and whatever purpose we have in life, it all should be directed back to, it all is directed back to him. And it should be a conscious effort for us to do that. But the stuff that the churches are putting out nowadays, and even like I said, some of the gospel songs and stuff, I'm so taken back by, because I know that there is a prediction of apostasy, but it is just like so blatant now. I can just look at it and, you know, the Bible says by their fruits you will know them. And it's just like, I can't even abide some of the stuff that I heard recently while ministering dance by some of these preachers. I'm like, really, you're not even feeding this flock. Here is all these people gathered at once, and you're talking about something that has no significance to Yeshua, to Yah, to nothing. You're talking about nothing. So, you know, for them to be accountable to Yah and not fear him, you know, and they take it for license, like, oh, he knows my heart, or he knows what I'm doing. No, he set the standard. You have to be a standard bearer. You know, you have to, especially when you're in that position, you have to be light. You have to be that beacon on a hill. You cannot take the word of Yah and make it, you know, insignificant. To me, I just find the word of Yah is life, is breath, it's light, it's water for washing. I mean, it's so many different things in my life that it's a mirror, you know, for me to look in. It's a lamp for my feet. I mean, it's so much that it just compasses that I can't abide this tomfoolery that's going on out here in the Black church.
Our conversation took a slight turn, and Luz Delia, who appears to be very grounded, confirmed the source from which she draws her strength, Yah. Whatever flows into her life, be it good or bad, if it's from Yah, she accepts it.
People you know, they call me strong. They say I have strength, but I'm just as weak as the next person. They look at me as, because I come from a family of nine, and I'm six girls and three boys, and I'm the eighth of those nine children, which is a divine number, by the way. Eight is the eternal number. I just look at it like, you know, this way it had to pass through his hands before it even came down into my reality. So if it's from him, I accept it. And that's pretty much how I've been living my life, strong and going forward and, you know, no regrets, and just, you know, showing love and keeping my head up and just, you know, moving forward, aging, but moving forward.
Then we touched on the topic of redemption.
I feel as though when he comes, he will reveal all in me that is supposed to be in me. Because believe me, out of 10 sins that, of the 10 commandments that we could break, I've broken all 10. So, and right. Not intentionally all the time, I know that I have. So I've always humbled myself and say, you know, it's not because of anything that I've done that I'm redeemed. And I always remember that when even all those people that came out of the Exodus with Moses, only two of them really saw the promised land. Moses didn't even cross over to see it. Joshua, Caleb, they were the two out of all of those millions of people. Now, granted, the children of those people made it over, but for 40 years, those carcasses were being discarded in the wilderness because of, you know, the basically the heart of unbelief. And so in order for me to hang on, even if it's by the thread, I'm going to hang on to my belief in Yeshua and what he's done for me, because through Yeshua, I can then, you know, be washed and my dirty rags can then be bright, and I can, you know, then face Yah in the day of judgment through him. So I just really, I'm just so blessed to even be here and be speaking about it, because it really is something that I live my life by, and it really is something that I believe in. I know that I'll be redeemed because I know that his spirit was in me, and it came from him in the first place. You know, in Ecclesiastes, it talks about, you know, when man dies, you know, the spirit goes back to who gave it. And I really do believe that wholeheartedly. That's just something that I don't want my spirit to be so black and tarnished by the time he reclaims it that, you know, even though Yeshua's blood cleanses us from all of that, but still we have some choices to make to get us to where we need to be. So I really do believe. I am a believer.
Absolutely. And what you're saying about the spirit going back to the creator, literally, that's true of every single living person. So whether you're righteous or not, that also disproves the idea of everybody going to heaven consciously and living out their life in heaven upon death. You basically yes. die. Your body goes back to the earth. You become, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And what he does is he stores your consciousness. Whatever you lived out, all the decisions that you made, all the things that you learned and imbibed, all the things that you took into your consciousness, basically, he stores that. And upon judgment day, he'll put that spirit back into the body that he resurrects. And then he'll pick up where you left off. And basically, you'll be judged according to what was stored. It's just like taking a disc out of a computer and putting it on the shelf. And that's it. And when you yeah. put it back in a computer, it fires back up. That's all it is. Yeah. But you can put it in any computer. So you don't have to come back in the body that you went down in. That's just how it works. And that's yeah, how the judgment will be. It's going to be strange.
That's such a good analogy, you know, software and hardware. I've heard it, you know, the software is downloadable, and the hardware, even though it may perish or get out of style, you can still have that software, that operating system running. So that is so true. I love that analogy. Yeah, and what's amazing to me is a lot of people don't get this dispensation that I feel like we're in of grace, that we're allowed to make these mistakes and we're allowed to find him and we're allowed to, you know, grope for him like we're groping for our very lives, because, you know, you don't want to come to him, you know, cocky or, you know, cynical or whatever you bring. You don't want to come to him like that. You want to come humbly. And you want to come, you know, knowing that he is who he is, you want to come reverently. So to me, a lot of the preaching out here now, people are becoming very narcissistic spiritually. Like, I deserve this and I get this because I did. No, you don't deserve squat. You know, he is allowing you to come into his presence. He is allowing you to partake of his grace. He is allowing this time period, because when he comes back, it's at a set time. It's at a set time that has already been predetermined and it's going to happen whether we're ready or not. So, and that's what the Bible speaks of when it says he's going to come as a thief in the night, because people are going to be so enraptured in their own affairs and in their own daily, like the social media stuff. I subscribe to none of it. I don't tweet. I don't have Facebook. I don't have any kind of social account. But it's just these people, they're living their lives with these technologies right in front of them, and they're blinded. You could basically run up on somebody nowadays, as they used to say, and just, you know, have at whatever you want to do to them, because their face is always in technology. They wouldn't even see you coming.
That's exactly right. I mean, and literally, like you're saying, people are like stuck in this entertainment blitz and on technology and all these devices. It's going to be very scary when all of that goes away overnight, and it will. What are you going to do when you have no internet, no device, no phone, no phone service? It's going to be very, very scary, and it's going to be cut off, and people are not going to know what to do with themselves. And that's why it's like right now, my family and I, we actually take like sabbaticals from that stuff. Like our Sabbaths are basically, we shut the phone off. We're literally unreachable in a sense. You know, it's like, it's just, we're untethered to technology.
And, I love
and
that.
It's a good feeling.
I was the same way. Yes, I love it. Yeah. And I was the same way until recently, I will say about the last 2 years when I've held this field engineer job, because before that, like I said, I was actually running a department within a hospital, which is called biomedical engineering, which we repair everything in the hospital. I had like 11,000 pieces of equipment that I was responsible for, plus a staff of 5 men. But before that, before I left that, before I got into this field engineer thing, I didn't even have Wi-Fi at home. I didn't have a television. I didn't have any of that, but my bookshelf is sure enough grand. I have bunches of books that I can read, and I have, you know, different things that I would do at home to, you know that if the lights ever did go out, you know, I could be untethered without, you know, going crazy like some of these people do when they yeah. know that, oh, I don't have lights, so I don't have this. Candles were invented before lights were. So, you know.
Absolutely. And it's good that you have that history, because you can always revert back to that. If anything happens, you're good. Grab a candle, grab a flashlight or whatever you have, and just you can zone out in your books. I love that. I love that. You have to find some kind of space in your life at some point where you take back your life. You know what I mean? Because our lives are literally under the control of these devices and like the internet, and they call it television programming because they're programming people. Yeah, it's like appointment TV. You sit down at 8 o'clock to watch this. You sit down at 9 o'clock every. If that's programming, you're being literally controlled and manipulated.
They say that. They say someone was saying, commercials don't affect me. Well, how can that commercials affect you when they're paying millions of dollars? If they didn't think it didn't affect you, they wouldn't pay millions of dollars for a 1 minute spot or a 60 second spot or a 30 second spot. They know that there is definitely something behind that. So, and the prince of the power of the air knows it too. So he's using all of his, I mean, I call it the sewer gates and the flood gates being opened like a sewer in the homes now.
When I asked her how long she's been awake in this walk, Luz Delia said,
so I would have to say that I personally have been awake since the early 80s into the 90s. But I was conflicted in what I was reading in the Bible and what I was seeing around me by the Christian culture. But the professing church to me, as I started growing in grace, is they were right out there with the sinners. So I began reading the word in earnest, and I was hungry for knowledge. You know, when I was in my quest early on in my 20s and 30s to become, you know, whatever y'all wanted me to be, I always knew, like, I'm still not sure if I'm pure Hebrew or if I'm Gentile, but I know that I'm in the kingdom because the Jew and the Gentile will be accepted. It's the only one way you can get there, but it's through a path, and a path has been made for us, and we just have to accept it. You know, some people in the simplicity of that, they can't accept it because it's so simple, but that will be the stumbling block for them because it's so simple. They won't accept it as a little child, but as a little child, a child trusts. A child says, okay, you have my best interest at heart, and I'm going to let go. And that's what we as adults really have to do in our lives. And eschatology fascinated me, the things that were destined to come, you know, by his design. And that's where I basically started laying down roots, was in eschatology, because in the Bible, it tells us, you know, hundreds of years before something happened, it was already prophesied, and it just had to be walked out. So that part of the Bible really fascinated me. And I started like really digging in deep in those areas, like to find out the book of Revelation, you know, or the book of Daniel and all these little things. Malachi had some stuff in it that was fascinating. So I guess that's how it really started with me. So I would say for the last 20, 30 years, maybe I've been awake, but in order to be awake, you know, you have certain levels of consciousness. You crawl before you walk, and then you walk before you run. And for me right now, I'm in the running stage. And then future, I would hope to be in the leaping stage where I'm leaps and bounds, you know, with the word. But yeah, I could say it's been a while now for me.
That's kind of the first thing that drew me into. I was into Revelation and Daniel. Actually, Daniel was probably one of the first books I ever read. And this is back in like 94-ish. So yeah, the same exact thing. I had the same kind of experience. And seeing these things in prophecy being, you know, unfolded and fulfilled, you see, it basically says this is a real book. It's a living book and it's still unfolding. It's still happening. This is relevant.
Yes, I agree.
Right. To the next question. Since you've been awake, how has your life changed? Like, what are you doing differently now that you're awake than when you were spiritually asleep?
Since awakening, there have been different levels of consciousness. Like I said, you know, it's kind of, I have it like a child learning. You know, when you're first born, you know, you're suckling, and then you learn how to crawl, then you learn how to walk, then you learn how to speak. So to me, I've grown, but I am still growing by Yah Spirit. Some of the things that I have done is, for example, on a personal level, I've cut all the relaxer out of my hair, and I've let my hair grow for the past 12 years into locks. So it's now well beyond my hip line. I stopped eating a lot of the meats that were forbidden in the Bible in the beginning. I kind of got that plant-based diet going on back from Eden. You know, the original diet. Let's see what else. I don't listen to music. Totally cut the secular music off. Like back in the 90s, I stopped listening to secular radio. And I only listen to songs and, you know, music and videos or whatever that uplift Yah and Yeshua. I totally cut the other things out of my life. So if some people ask me who's this artist or who is that artist, I have no clue. And I'm proud to say that. I try to keep Sabbath, but it's important to me to keep Sabbath. But it's been a lot of confusion. Which we all know is from the adversary about Sabbath. I actually was told that I was being very legalistic in an attempt to keep Sabbath. And if I was to keep Sabbath, I was to keep the whole law and all of this. But I was like, I know for a fact that the Bible says that this is an eternal sign. So I try to definitely keep Sabbath at home. I haven't found a place where I can actually go to keep Sabbath. Like the Seventh Day Adventist, that wasn't, I did attend a couple of their services, but I knew that that wasn't right. I wanted to go to a Jewish, you know, like a temple. They don't call it mass. They call it, I forget what they call it, but anyway, go to temple. And I knew that that wasn't right. So I just pretty much been doing Sabbath at home. But again, since I'm a single person, I just, you know, do it by reading scripture, praying, and listening to music that uplifts Yah. But I know in my heart of hearts that the holy days that are set forth by Yah are what's right for us as a pattern in our life versus the holidays, which man instituted, which really only serve the God of mammon, in my opinion.
And we touched on the commercial aspect of the devil's economy. How man has masterfully exploited the pagan holidays for pure gain. Of course, we all got caught up in these things growing up.
Christmas will look different in every nation. In America, mm-hmm. It's different. Thanksgiving will look different everywhere. And it depends on where you are. It'll be marketed and tailored to that environment and that region. And people don't really see that. They don't notice that all of this stuff is orchestrated and planned, and it's a part of the devil's economy, essentially. And it's exactly what you said. It's all about commerce.
And that was revealed to me in my 20s. So I really stopped, you know, even though I grew up in Puerto Rico, but I by the age of 7, I was back in the States. So I kind of grew up with all of that around me. And when I stopped celebrating it, my family, you know, they would give me little comments or little strange things. But I think my family holds a certain respect for me now that over the years, I've stuck to it. And they know that, hey, don't even bother her with that because she's not about that. So, and it's not that they don't love me any less, but they, you know, they know now that, you know, I'm about what I'm about. And they respect me for that, I think.
Luz Delia revealed that she was part of a failed marriage that was not ordained by Yah, but she accepts even that.
I really do feel as though he is sequestering me now. He's separating me, not separating me from anything, but separating me unto himself because of the way that I did live my life earlier in my teen, in my 20 years, because I didn't have a covering as a father. My father left when I was seven years old. He left the family, and so there was no covering there. And then I've always wanted to be married as a woman, so, you know, the marriage didn't last because it was not the covering that he had for me. So now it's like you say, he was your fellowship, he is my covering. So, and I'm good with that. I'm good with being alone. I mean, I'm not a bad looking woman. I'm not, you know, an egregious person to be around. So I know that that's not the case. So I know that it's coming from him why I am the way I am walking in my walk at this point in my life.
That is beautiful to hear. It's so wonderful to hear because your heart is accepting. You literally are just, what you hear from him, you're ready to go. He's training you for something very, very important. I'm pretty sure you're aware of that, but he's training everything that we do, every step of my life. He's training you for something big, literally.
I keep hearing that. My mother tells me that, and I would say she's a spiritual person. She's a lot caught up in this church system, which I try to get her to see. But, you know, a daughter talking to a mother, sometimes it takes years, but I still talk to her on that level. But she keeps telling me that, and she's like, you're my number 8. You're the 8th child. You're the eternal child. You know, he's preparing you for something big, you know, just when you're ready. And when he's ready to use you, just be available to him. And I always tell her, you know, because the enemy tried to take me out several times. As a child, I fell from a second floor window, and I was not able to talk or walk for many, many months. And my mother was telling me that I told her when I came to in the hospital that Jesus caught me. That's what I told her back then, that he caught me and he said it wasn't my time. So she always like hovered over me, and she always tells me, you know, that I'm her number 8. That's what she calls me, her number 8.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, 8 is also like the number of new beginnings. Like there were 8 souls in the ark, new beginning. The 8th day, the first year supposed to be in booths for 7 days, and then the 8th day begins a whole new thing, you know. 7,000 years, the 8,000 years, new beginning, seven days, the 8th day is a new week. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
The beginning of something new.
Yeah. I have things in this world. I'm not going to say that I'm destitute, but I everything that I can say that I have, I know it's from Yah, because even the little things that I've asked for in detail, he has provided to me. And even though I'm alone in a walk right now, I don't fear it, because even when he was, you know, among the masses so many times, he would go alone and he would pray to the Father and they would be in communion. So I do have that. That's how I walk my life out. That's how I'm living right now.
All right. So what are some of the things that you do in order to commune with Yah and hear his voice clearer when you take time out of your busy schedule? Do you head off somewhere, or do you, does that take place in your home, outside? How do you make time during it, you know, daily, weekly, or how often? How do you do it?
Well, it actually, for me, it's an ongoing thing. It happens from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. So I pray during the day. Like if I'm in my car, I'm praying for traveling mercies and to arrive without accident or incident. And then when I'm eating my food, I'm praying over my food. Or when it happens every day. It happens all day. I have this little flipboard kind of thing where it has the date and then there's a scripture and an encouraging word. I have that I read that before I leave out the door every day. I realize and recognize that his mercies are new every day. So even if I feel bad about one day sleeping and then I wake up, I know that it's a brand new day, you know, and I look at it like that. And I know that whatever is in my path, he brings to me. So being with him is an all-day thing for me. It's not a sequester time that I take, okay, I'm going to spend 5 minutes praying today, or I'm going to read my Bible for 30 minutes today. No, it happens all throughout my day. It's just when I get a chance to read the word, I read it. Sometimes, and I've had a woman tell me this on the job one time, she was a little bit, I would say, less fortunate than me. And she had lost her purse or whatever. She didn't have money for lunch. And I just reached in my pocket. I had just had $5. I had just came from lunch, and I had a $5 bill with me, and I gave it to her. And she just was, like, so in awe of that. And I was like, that's nothing. I mean, $5, really? But it meant the world to her. So I listen. I mean, it's a still small voice that comes in my spirit, and I know it's from him. Those big, loud, rah-rah voices that's outside of me, although they masquerade as, yeah, I know that that's not him, and I don't follow. A lot of times, I feel like it's better for me to listen to my first instinct and hearing him than to say, second guess and say, okay, I'll listen to this because I heard someone else say it. And then a lot of times, too, I'll get clarification and I'll get, validation, because I'll hear it again. And then I'll hear it again one more time, the third time before the day is out. So it's an all day thing with me. It's really an internal thing. But I do share the word, and I try to be an example about how I live out my life. I share items like, you know, the preparedness checklist or the videos and stuff that you guys produce. I share those with people and my family. And I find those to be reinforcing of what Yah states in his word, that to my family and friends, and whoever receives them, and whoever doesn't, you know, it's not my, I put the seed there, so. And that's true, what I just told you. It's not a particular time of day, or it's all day, and it's what, when I'm conscious, and even when I'm not conscious. I know that he's still speaking to me, and it's a two-way communication. So that's what's beautiful about it. It's two-way. It's not just him speaking to me or me listening to him, or, you know, he listens to me as well. So, you know, the creator of all things, he understands. So, you know, that's how I live my life.
As an awakened believer with, you know, basically no spiritual social network, you've mentioned that. How do you power through the isolation and the loneliness you feel to worship Yah and walk the path? What would you say as an encouraging word to those who are actually in the same boat? Like, what do you do?
I actually was getting a little disheartened by that I didn't have like-minded believers. Because like I say, the Christians are out here. They're out here. They're all over the place. But I find that they're duplicitous in their walk and in their talk. So I can't be bothered, like, I can't suffer fools. That's the way I put it. I can't suffer fools. I can't suffer foolishness. And so I kind of withdraw into myself. But I get great delight in reading the scriptures. I get great delight in listening to artists like Avion Blackman, who has this beautiful song called Yeshua. I listen to, you know, some of the artists out here. Fred Hammond has a beautiful devotional song called Blessings and Honor. And anything that's uplifting to Yah uplifts me. So that's how I pretty much do it. You know, the word states that although Yeshua, he was a lot of times, you know, enthralled with the people, they would harangue him. He retreated, but he retreated and he was alone, but yet he was not alone. He had communion through, you know, his prayer. He had communion through talking to the disciples and to the people who would listen, who had the ear to hear. And so that's how I do. I kind of live my life like that. If I'm alone, if I'm feeling lonely, I'll go out and put myself around people. But at the same time, I know that I'm not going to be influenced by what they say, but they're going to listen to what I'm saying, because I like to affect change. So I do find comfort in things like that, music, prayer, speaking with people, you know, sharing the word. And even sharing a good meal where we talk about the word.
Did you grow up in Puerto Rico, or is it here?
Yes.
In America?
Yes. I actually was born at Temple University Hospital, April 16th, 1963 in Philadelphia. A year after my sister was born, right after me, we moved to Puerto Rico, and we were actually raised on the island. So, you know, basic farm life, basic almost poverty. But always had love and family, so we were very rich there. And then 1970, we came back to the States. I didn't speak a lick of English, so I had to go through phonics class to teach me how to speak English again. Everybody says, well, you don't have an accent. You don't have an accent. That's why I went through phonics class to learn how to speak, because I remember being terrified in the first grade. I didn't know the language. I didn't know anything. The only thing I could remember was liking breakfast and lunch. But I actually did have to learn English all over again, because Spanish was my first language. It was spoken in the home, and it was spoken not at school, so I had to learn English. And then, again, I am the eighth of nine children, so six daughters. I'm the fifth child of that, so it's kind of... I mean, it's so prophetic. Why did he place me at this part of my family? Why did I come when I came? Or not that I would question him, but these questions would ring inside of me. And then as I was living life, you know, all the answers came. But being the eighth of nine children, we all sing, we all dance, we all, you know, play instruments even. I don't know how I ended up where I ended up now in the medical profession, but now I'm an engineer, so I repair anesthesia equipment for a living. You go into the hospital, you know, you have an operation, that machine that they hook you up to, I repair that. I also service and repair infant equipment. So when you go into a NICU or something, a neonatal ICU, you see the equipment that the babies are hooked up to, I repair that kind of stuff as well. So I don't know how I ended up there, but... Again, we came from a musical family. My father left the household when I was early seven years old. And so I grew up with just my three older brothers and my sisters. Pretty much, we still speak English and Spanish in our family. My mom is still alive. She's 83 this year. Praying that she'll turn 84 and still be with us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I told her, I said, Mom, I don't know how you did it with nine children, nine different personalities. I have two children and they drive me crazy. So I don't know how she did it with nine, but she never abandoned us. We never had to live in the projects. We never, you know, she always provided for us. So, and she's a very, very strong woman of faith. She was very obedient to her parents, which was a family of 16, I do believe. And I think she's the eighth daughter of an eighth daughter. So it's kind of been passed down to me. Yeah, it was kind of freaky when she first told me that. I was like, are you sure, Mom? She's like, yes, I'm telling you. So it's the tradition has been passed down. And my grandmother was very spiritual as well. I still have her Bible. When she passed away and we all went in to see her, I immediately grabbed her Bible up. And I've been holding that dear ever since. And in her Bible, in the back of her Bible, my name is Luz Delia. So in Spanish, Luz is light, right? I'll tell you some crazy stuff about myself. Luz means light in Spanish, right? So I'm the light, right? So then in her Bible, Luz means separated. First, I was a little distressed about that in my teens and stuff. I was like, why is he separating me? But then I started reading and learning separated unto, not separating from. So I started knowing that I'm going to be separated unto Yah, which is wonderful for me. You know, I'd rather leave, you know, this world behind and be separated unto Him. It's pretty much been unfolding to me as I get older, all the things that He has for me and has in store for me and has done for me over my life. So at any rate, I'm 56 years old now and I'm a five-time grandmother, which five is the number of grace. So I have five grandchildren, and my last granddaughter that was born to me, interestingly enough, the enemy was attacking. She was within her mother's womb for 2 days without water and without air. She was disconnected from her umbilical placenta and everything. She was without air, oxygen, without food for 2 days. But when she came out, she battled. And she's still here today. She's 2 years old now. So, I mean, he answered prayer. We went into some warrior style prayer for her when she was being born and being delivered. And he saw her through all of that. So I'm just so grateful, you know, for everything that he's done for me in my life. I'm definitely a woman of vision when it comes to things that he has and he sees, I see. The things that he wants me to hear, I try to tune into and I hear it and I try to follow it and do what he wants me to do. So I'm living my life chaste right now, but I know even if he has this for me till the end, I'm good. As far as being with a partner, sometimes I do get lonely, but then again, I can always turn to the Word. And I have a great family of siblings and a host of nieces and nephews and cousins and, you know, grandchildren and coworkers and friends. So I'm not isolated in any way, I don't think. My life has been truly blessed. If I had to leave today, I could say that my life has been truly blessed and have been touched by Yah.
Following our interview, I expressed to Luz Delia how appreciative I was of her generous offering as she graciously chose to tell her story for any and all to hear. She in turn expressed her thanks for our efforts. This is what this walk is about. No one said it's a perfect walk. It's actually going to look ugly at times, and certainly messy. But we do what we can to please the Most High, and walk according to His will, within the parameters of the covenant law. This is how we become fruit bearers. We hope you enjoy this podcast, which is part of a limited series. Be sure to visit our website, kingdompreppers.org, for more of our presentations. Shalom.